Imagine it's 1919. It's December. It's getting colder, but the Christmas season is fast approaching. You're standing on a paved road, one of the few in town, and you realize you're on Main Street, standing before the place where Bitzer Park will someday be. But in front of you is a two-story building, the office of Dr. W.C. Steele. And there, in front of his office, surrounded by a small white fence, is the very first community Christmas tree. In 1919, North Kent was in the throes of change. 2 years earlier, the fighting in Europe against the German forces swayed the town to change its name from New Berlin to North Canton. The Hoover Company, that same year, had decided to shift away from leatherworking altogether to vacuum cleaners. The town was growing, more houses were being built, more streets were being created, and even more people were coming to make their living in this community. Our community was growing, and that year, on that spot, with that tree, a community tradition was born. Today we're going to present to you several stories and anecdotes from throughout the years, celebrating the 100th anniversary of this seasonal tradition. For those that shared these stories, they presented us with a place in time. All right, we're going to start off with a story from the recent past, a story of Eric and Christina Holloway and how their relationship, one born and cultivated in North Canton, reached a flashpoint, I guess you could say, at the North Canton Community Christmas Tree Lighting back about 3 years ago. So without further ado, here is Eric and Christina.
We both went to Hoover, graduated the same year, and never really crossed. Like, I'm the nerdy girl that, like, reads at every possible moment, and he's, like, the guy in auto body, like playing with cars. And he moved to Florida, Boston, Florida.
Florida to Ohio, Ohio to Boston, Boston back to Ohio.
And so, and I went to Kent, you know, lived in Akron, whatever, and we both moved back to North Canton about the same time. And I was like out running on Main Street, and he saw me and said, if I think she's this attractive, then I'm with the wrong person.
Yeah, I was just driving down Main Street. I don't even know where I was going. I don't remember. But yeah, I saw her out there and I was like, wow.
So he, you know, sent me a message and just said hi and whatever. And then a little while later, like the next weekend or a week or two, I'm not sure, was like, had gone to the zoo with a friend of mine to like walk and was home and was bored because I was all hyped up on like endorphins from like exercising. And I'm like, all right, who can I make talk to me? And I'm like, all right, him. And so I said, hey, like, what's up? What are you doing? And he's like, oh, you know, I just, you know, I went to my nephew's birthday party and whatever. We started talking about Zelda because I was sitting at home playing Zelda. And so he's like, I want to play Zelda. And I was like, so play Zelda. And he goes, well, I don't know where to play Zelda. And I was like, well, you can come play on mine. And I've always been somebody who wants to get married and have kids, but not willing to do it with the wrong people. But right. I also am somebody who was always on the lookout for opportunities. You know, just kind of like, if I would meet somebody at work through a friend or whatever, I'd be like, I'd evaluate is this person like a real option, or is this something that's not even worth looking twice at, kind of thing. And the funniest thing to me is, like, it was completely innocent. Like, that I was like, hey, you can come over and hang out. And so he came over, and he, on the other hand, is like, I don't have a chance with her, but I gotta try. I gotta, you know. And
so what were your thoughts like when she invited you over? Like,
exactly that. I was like, well, you know, if nothing happens, at least I'll make a friend out of it. Like, literally, know what I thought.
He comes over, and you know, if you're meeting somebody, even though it's kind of like hanging out with somebody for the first time in a home setting, like, even though it's kind of awkward and whatever, there are still things that are like not overt that you can do, like sit on the same couch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He sat in the chair, not anywhere close to me. And I was like, well, that's, you know, like, so it, like, he kind of, I was like, oh, okay. Like the small part of me that was paying attention was like, oh, okay. So he's not really whatever. So at one point I went to the bathroom, and I come back in, and he's moved. And at that moment, he's like on the couch now. And at that moment I was like, oh.
Was this like a patented move? Like, okay.
It kind of was.
She was safe because I was on the chair. I'm going for that couch.
Yeah. It kind of was. And, like, we were having such a good time, and like, she seemed to fit so well with me and my family and everything. And my thought was, am I hanging out with my wife for the first time? And that was legitimately my thought.
The first time we hung out.
And I guess I was.
It kind of just, you know, went from there. He sat on the couch. I came back in, realized he was sitting on the couch. Oh, okay. We went on a picnic, started dating, made his mom cry the first time she met me. His father had just passed in March, and it was just kind of a moment for her where she was like, oh, here's somebody who can take care of my son, finally. Like, that kind of, the kind of moment. So, and we have the same birthday. We are 6 hours and 20 minutes apart. November 14th,
Really weird crossovers in our lives. It would have been, so we were born in different hospitals, but that would have been even better if we were born in the same.
I was Altman, you were Murphy.
Yes, we would have been in the same nursery and stuff.
Well, but that's the funny thing. So, like, we weren't in the same nursery, but, like, we've been going to the same doctor since we were away from pediatricians, like, when we were, like, little kids.
Yeah.
Our parents both bowled at Colonial, like, a lot. That's actually where his parents met.
Yeah, oh, wow. My parents met at Colonial Lights.
And we were both baptized in water from the River Jordan. Our sisters are 11 days apart. Different years, but their birthdays are 11 days apart. Our mothers are 2 days apart.
That's like, funny. It just all lines up like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I remember, like, when we first started dating, or at least when we were still just dating, I guess I should say, you know, people always talk about looking for a sign. And, like, we had enough of our own, but then, like, I would drive around this, like, I'd just be driving and I'd see, like, the cable trucks would be like 11:14. Like, I would just see, like, our birthday on everything. And it's just like, okay, so I got it. Like, you don't have to, like, hit me over the head with a frying pan. Like, I got it. Like, marry this person. It's cool. I'll do it.
Eric, did you see signs as well?
Oh, yeah. But that was like one of the things that we would do. If we saw it, we'd be like, hey, I just saw this there, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, text each other happy birthday at 11:14. Yeah, we went to a football game the other day, and they stopped the clock at 11:13. I was like, oh my God, so close. So we still notice it and see it different places. The Friday before the tree lighting, he was like, I gotta go do this thing. I gotta go run this errand or whatever. And like the only other time that he's like, mysteriously, I gotta go do an errand was the time that you rode your motorcycle 3 hours to bring me a sandwich that I really like. But so he like left and was like, I gotta go do this thing. And he comes back and I don't remember if I called some like one of my friends and was like, dude, or if it was an after the fact thing, if I confirmed it. But I remember asking or talking about it at some point that was him going and picking up the ring. So I did know like he had it, but I didn't expect it to be at the tree lighting. Like I wasn't thinking that that's what was going to be going on.
It happened on December 2nd, 2016, which was like very shortly after we started dating, but I was like, I don't care. Like, I know I'm 30 years old.
Seven months.
I had bought the ring like a week before that, and I was trying to figure out, I think I was going to do it on Christmas Day. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And then we decided that we were going to go to the tree lighting, and I was like, dude, that would be the perfect thing to do, because it's not so, you know, cliche, it's all on Christmas Day, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. So I was like, let's do the tree lighting, that would be awesome. And figured out the tree lighting was on December 2nd, and I was like, that's my dad's birthday, that would make it even more special, proposed to her on my dad's birthday. It's the same year that he passed, so that made it even more special to me. So how did I'm trying to remember exactly what I did with your dad. Did I tell him that day, or I think I told him the day before?
So, my father. So I, finally, when we talked about going to the tree lighting with his sister and his mom, I was like, hey, that's perfect. Like, you can't tell me my dad can't come to that. He's a North Canton citizen.
Yeah.
And so I called dad, and I was like, hey, you should come to the tree lighting. He's like, well, I don't know. We'll see if it fits in between my naps.
That's a great dad response.
Like, wasn't that like a few days before?
Yeah, that was like I don't know, 3 days to a week before.
And I had planned this out to do it there at least a few days before.
So I message him on the day of, about the time we were getting ready to leave, saying, hey, we're planning on leaving at this point to get there and park and, you know, whatever. Are you ready to leave yourself or whatever? Just trying to, like, strong-arm him into doing it by not saying, are you coming, but, like, are you ready to go kind of thing. And he goes, yeah, I should be leaving here in a few minutes. And I thought that was bizarre that somehow he went from, if I can fit it in between my naps to, I'm coming with no effort.
Right.
And I was just like, huh, that's weird. Well, whatever. And the reason that he did it is because he had talked to him saying, hey, I'm going to propose to your daughter. You might want to take one last nap.
And I got permission from him a couple months before that when we were out.
It was in November. Yeah, we went to Grove City in November.
It was like a month before that. I took him aside when everyone else was shopping. I was like, hey, I got his blessing and everything before that. So.
His blessing, you mean? What did he say to you? The first part, not the second part.
I was real nervous.
Are you sure you want to do it?
Yeah. And he was like, he basically was like, yeah, that's cool. Let's talk about me giving you my house. And I was like, what? I was like, he had mentioned nothing of me, like, marrying you at all. He's like, yeah, that's cool. You're cool. I like you.
Well, no, except for the part where he said, if you're sure you want to do that, like, as in, if you sure you want to deal with her for the rest of your life.
And I was like, absolutely. So,
So you told him, and we went.
Yeah, because you had talked to him, and I think I called him like shortly after that, and I was like, "You should probably go because I'm planning on doing this that night." And he was like, "Oh, okay." You know, I told my whole family the same thing, and then that was when I got a hold of Brittany, which she was what? Yeah, I was like, I thought I remembered her being like 8 or 9 months pregnant.
She was super, super pregnant. It was a month before she gave birth.
I was like, you gotta come out, you gotta get pictures, I'm doing this. So she, you know, came out with us and everything.
But I don't know she's there. And she's hiding behind, like, a tree, like, with her, like, gut sticking out.
So you can't see her, but you can see her pregnant belly sticking out. And I'm, like, laughing the whole time where I know where Brittany is.
So I see him laughing and, like, looking over my shoulder. And so I go to, like, turn around and, like, I'm like, what are you laughing at? And he's like, oh, just this guy with, like, some stupid answer.
I was like, oh, some guy did something funny. It was whatever.
But, like, she's, like, ducking and, like, hiding behind some guy trying to, like, because she sees me turning around. And the guy's, like, trying to, like, turn around and figure out why she's, like, hiding behind him. And she's like, no, I'm trying to hide.
Yeah, she was trying to hide behind this guy. And she, like, was yelling, like, scolding him, like, no, just stay there. I'm hiding behind you right now. And he was like, oh, okay. But, well, so we, like, pull up, and I have the ring in my coat pocket. And I'm like, just don't. Because I know you, and sometimes you'll be like, oh, I'm going to put my hand in your pocket. And I'm like, oh, my God, don't do that. So I would try to pay attention to when you weren't paying attention, and I would, like, switch the pockets if you switched my side. So you were, like, over here. It was over here, and I'd be like, hey, like, oh, I'll check that out. And I'd, like, switch it and put it in the other pocket, and then you'd be on the other side, and I'd be like, come on. So I kept switching this ring in this box. And I was, like, super nervous, and I was like, I don't know if I should be doing this. Is this special enough? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, is this going to be too cheesy? And just sitting there, you know, waiting for everyone to show up. And everyone knew but you. Everyone keeps giving me these looks like, I don't know. It was ridiculous. But the funny part is we're there and I go pick. I'm like, hey, let's go over by the tree. They're about to light it. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Santa would come and everything. So we're standing in the spot where I had the plan to do it. And out of nowhere, the guy on the... you know, with the microphone stage. On the stage and everything was like, and we have a special event happening, and, this, whoever, I forget who it was, but he was like, he wants to come up and say a few words. And he gets up there, and he says all these nice things about his fiance, or not his fiance, his girlfriend at the time, and then...
Did you actually hear him doing it?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
And so then, out of nowhere, he just proposes to her on stage with the microphone, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this is so not fair, and, like, at that moment, I was ready to abort. I was like, I don't know if I should do this.
You should have just stormed up there and been like, hey.
I have something to say, too. That would have been cool. But so he goes through, she says yes, the whole crowd goes wild, and this and that.
I missed all of that. And I read the article after the fact, but I missed it.
That was after Santa had come on the fire truck. He was up there, too, and, you know, all that happened. And the countdown started for the tree, and they lit it, and it was like...
The second they lit it.
Yeah, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was so nervous. So I was like, okay, let's just do this. And I was so embarrassed, and I just went down on one knee. Nobody else saw me but you and, like, your dad, because he knew I was going to do it, my family and stuff. I don't know where Brittany was at this point. She was nowhere to be found. So we're, like, hiding behind some tree somewhere. And Brittany is over there hiding. She didn't. The funny thing is, she didn't even get any pictures of any of it.
Yeah, no. The video that I sent you, I have two videos, and they're both from my dad.
Yeah.
She didn't get anything because...
And he got it on his phone.
Yeah, he got down on his knee, and I keep getting flack for this, because he gets down, and I didn't let him stay down. I was just like, oh my God, come here, like, I want to hug you.
Yeah, I was on my knee for literally probably 3 seconds. And your dad was like, oh my God, he was trying to get these pictures. And yeah, it just happened like you said. I went down on one knee, and I was down for 0.5 seconds before you tore me up and...
I wanted to kiss you. You
didn't even give me an answer. And then finally, later, I was like, well, is that a yes or a no? And you're like, yes, oh my God. So, like, you know, the whole thing took 5 seconds to do, basically.
And then the tree's lit and it's, you know, yeah, kind of over and
lit,
done with.
We hung out for another 20-30 minutes and just, you know, talked to people, whatever. And then people started leaving because the tree was lit. And then we... I took her out, and I was like, let's go out to dinner, let's go celebrate, and we couldn't figure out where to go, so I just took her to Papa Bear's.
I was like, somewhere with somewhere with champagne, like, we need, like, I feel like we have to drink champagne.
Yeah.
And so, we went to Papa Bear's, and the bottles are actually on our mantle in there.
Yeah, those little tiny Martini and Rossi bottles
so
up in the corner.
So, we got that, and there's actually two sets, because then for our birthday the next year, he, like, blindfolded me and had a whole thing set up in the same booth where we went to after we got engaged.
They set up flowers and your gifts and everything, and so we ate dinner for our birthday at the place we went to after we got engaged.
Yeah.
Which is a little corner booth inside Papa Bear's.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to thank Eric and Christina for allowing us to come and tell their story and get their love story out there, share how it ties in with our Christmas tree celebration. So now we're actually going to move on, and we're going to be going over some memories that were shared on social media, and here they are. Okay, Rhonda Delaney Worcester had this to say. A tree used to be a year-round live tree that was growing in the front of the Hoover Company. I loved looking out the car window and seeing it all year, knowing it was the Christmas tree. I remember singing Christmas carols around it while waiting for Santa to arrive. Lee Mahalik Dixon says that my husband worked for the company that would bring the tree in. It was a huge undertaking. We used a crane to lay the tree out on a trailer that had a special bracket on it to hold the truck level. Once they got it to the Hoover Company, they used the crane again to take it off the trailer and place it in the stand in front of the yard. Some Hoover employees also assisted them. After they were done, the crew got to go into the Hoover's cafeteria for a meal. The job took most of the day to complete, and it was done at no cost to the city of North Canton. Oh, I really like that story. And it kind of shows that, like, we did kind of transition from having a year-round tree to having a tree brought in. Patty Woodside, which, you know, full disclosure, it's my mom, said, I remember the amazing sight of it being hauled into North Canton on a flatbed truck. It was an eye-opener. Cindy Williman Laughlin, back in the late 60s, said that the Hoover High School choir director, Martin Alexander, would lead the choir, or choirs, and the community in singing Christmas carols at the tree letting Christmas sing, and it was actually broadcasted on the radio. It was pretty cool, I never knew that. Sarah Bates, who is a good friend of mine, said that she, the only strong memory I have of Christmas tree is singing in the high school choir at its yearly lighting, the excitement of apple cider afterward that was only good really hot, and the fact that it always seemed to be raining that evening. Tara Heyman, back in the late 60s, says that I remember Santa would land in a helicopter. Santa landed in the front yard of the Hoover Company. And Diana Wedman, also back in the late 60s, said that I have pictures of my son Mark when he was 3 at Hoover's waiting for and seeing Santa land in the helicopter. And I gotta tell you, all the years I've been in North Canton, I've never heard of that, and it's kind of cool to know that he landed in a helicopter. So we're gonna close out today's podcast with this last little story, this last little memory from Kathy Myers Fielding. This is about 1965, and she says, I remember coming out of St. Paul's after midnight mass on Christmas Day and seeing that it had snowed. All of the city was quiet. The Christmas lights made the snow sparkle like diamonds. Being a child, I thought it was the magic of Christmas. Okay, well, I wanted to first of all, thank everyone for responding to the Facebook posts I put out there and provided some nice glimpses into the past, and kind of giving us a little more context to the history of this community tradition. You know, history is a living, breathing thing in North Canton, and sometimes it's nice to be reminded of that in with events like this. And the community Christmas tree, I can imagine it was put up by Dr. Steele all those years ago as a way to kind of pull the community together. And really like that. And I'm looking forward to Saturday when I get to see so many other members of the community gathered together in the square of North Canton. It's the last episode for 2019, so we'll see you next year in 2020, where I hope to have even more episodes available and, you know, continue on this, this journey through North Canton's history and heritage. If you're interested in joining the North Canton Heritage Society, and I actually highly recommend it, you can just go to the North Canton Heritage Society website. You can also check out our Facebook page, you know, some of the various social medias, and they can get you there. You know, we're also going to have some stuff available at our booth at Winterfest on Saturday. So I'm hoping to see you there, and from all of us at the North Canton Heritage Society, wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and a Happy New Year. Thank you.